98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Now, it's All-Ireland Hurling Final Day at Croke Park today. What a game in store as Tipperary take on Kilkenny with a 3-3 throw-in. We'll be hearing from both managers in just a second. But firstly, Hurler of the Year, Cian Lynch, was speaking as part of Centra's hashtag We Are Hurling campaign. The Limerick man has been telling Oisín Langan that it should be a fascinating encounter.
I suppose Kilkenny and Tipperary, like, you see the tradition they have in playing each other down through the years, like, even in recent times, like, the games that they've played against each other in leagues and championships is just phenomenal. Like, those games take a life of their own and no one can really tell how it's going to go or what game it's going to be like. But I suppose both teams are going to bring an intensity and a hurling skill that everyone knows they're capable of. And it's just, as a neutral, it's going to be unbelievable to watch. But as a player, it's hard. Like, it's hard to watch. You know, you've played both teams this year and you believe yourself that you're capable of being there and whatever. But I don't know, I look forward to watching it, and especially Brian Cody and Liam Sheedy, they've both done unbelievable things with both teams, and the players on both teams have pushed themselves beyond the limits, so it's great.
You've played Tip twice this year and obviously Kilkenny once. If Tip bring it, then they've a real chance here.
Yeah, I suppose, Camira, on any given day, like, it's a team that performs will win, like, but I suppose All-Ireland final days, they do take a life of their own, and Tipperary have the intensity, they have the players too, like, to bring a new level of performance, but so do Kilkenny. Like, we saw that firsthand in the semi-final, like, the intensity they bring, but the hurling skills they have for every man. They'll drive out with the ball, they'll pick off scores there, and they'll keep working until the final whistle. Like, so I don't know, both teams have so much to offer and so many players that are capable of doing unbelievable things on the day, but I don't know, it's going to be some game, it's going to be some spectacle for GAA fans to watch, and as you say, tradition between typical Kilkenny is huge, and hopefully it lives up to the game.
Is it just a case now of when you're out there, you have to do it in a split second? Because just watching your game and even watching the Wexford Tip game, I just noticed you don't have any time on the ball. You have no time on the ball. So how do you make that time? Or is it a case that when you get it, you have to do something with it straight away?
Yeah, I suppose, as I say, it does go back to intensity and work rate of opposition teams. But so you don't have time on the ball. The minute you get it, you're nearly thinking of what you're going to do with it, because you'll be swarmed. And that's what hurling's gone now. It's evolved to... it's after evolving to get quicker and faster, and split decisions can make or change a game. Like, and especially on that Ireland final day, like, there's always only pucks of a ball between teams, and puck of a ball can change a game and can sway a team in one direction. But I suppose on Sunday, like, both teams are going to go out, they're going to match around the parade, and it's going to be 15 and 15 within the white lines, and whatever happens outside it is irrelevant. Both teams are going to go out with the hope of leaving with Liam McCarthy, so it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, that is Cian Lynch, the Hurler of the Year, speaking at Centra's hashtag We Are Hurling campaign. Now let's hear from both managers in a second. Liam Sheedy, who of course is the manager of Tipperary, but first Kilkenny's Brian Cody on making the final despite not being tipped by the pundits at the start of the year.
There are so many strong teams there this year, and looking at it, you know, from observers' point of view, they felt that there was other teams would have a much better opportunity, you know, and that's the way it went. I mean, I was confident myself that we were going to be competitive with a great confidence in the players we have in our panel, and I was saying that we lost to Limerick by 2 points in the quarter final last year. We won the league last year, but there wasn't a huge sense that we were going to be as competitive as we needed to be this year. But, like, I mean, the players were totally genuine, totally honest, and really, really put a knuckle down to everything they've asked them to do. The management team, everybody involved with Kilkenny, were hugely ambitious to try and get to where we wanted to get to. We're there now, and that's all we are. We're in the final, but it's going to be some battle to try and win it.
No, we have a routine, you know. Thankfully, I've been through this routine before. You know, these are the best 3 weeks of your life. You know, you love building up to the All-Ireland final, and you just want to know that you get yourself to 3:30 knowing that you've done everything, you've ticked every box in terms of preparation, and I'm absolutely certain we will do that. And then you got to let your team at it and let them go out and perform, and come 5:30, you'll either be at the right side of it or the wrong side of it, but I won't be looking back saying if I to do this or if I to do that. We'll do everything we possibly can, we'll have no regrets, and as I said, we know that if we play to our level and if we bring a really, really strong performance over 70 plus minutes, then we have a chance, and if we don't, we'll come up short. But for right now, we're just thrilled to be in there, and I'm thrilled for this group of players because they really have put in a massive effort for me, and I'm hugely proud of the way they've gone about their business in 2019.
Yeah, Tipperary manager Liam Sheedy saying he'll have no regrets no matter what the result today. It's Tipperary against Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Croke Park throw-in is at 3:30. Now, we're just 2 weeks away from the All-Ireland football final between Dublin and Kerry, also at Croker. Last weekend, the Dubs turned on the style to beat Mayo in the semi-final, while Kerry beat Tyrone. I've been chatting to Dublin selector and one of Jim Gavin's right-hand men, Declan Darcy. I began by asking him about that amazing opening 12 minutes of the second half last weekend in which the Dubs literally swept Mayo aside despite being 2 points down at half-time.
It's kind of hard enough. We probably look at the game in totality, in fairness to how the guys operated, but they certainly got a golden spell after half time, and they got a little bit of oxygen. Obviously the Conn's goal was hugely important, and after that we kind of squeezed out a little bit of a lead for ourselves that gave us a bit of a blanket, which we were happy enough with. But again, from our context, it was only a period of the game. We would be looking at the whole game in totality as to what we could do better, and in that period of time definitely was a golden spell at that stage.
Yeah, 8 points to six down at half time. What is the Dublin dressing room like on a big day like that, when maybe the first half hasn't gone as planned in terms of the scoreline, and that period after half time, you know, was, as we mentioned, was so good?
Yeah, I suppose it's a lot of it. It's player led to a lot of degree. I suppose everybody's perception is that there was a hairdryer treatment at half time, Alex Ferguson type. But no, listen, they need to execute. They need to, you know, they need to go through. They understand how they need to play, and they need to keep concentrating on them parts of their game. And that's all, we just keep drawing their eyes to. We make a few tactical changes or suggest to them what's actually happening in the game that they can't see, and then give it back to the players, and then they reset themselves and. They went out in the second half, and I'm not sure how that second half actually, because actually Mayo had chances in that 12 minute period as well, so it's a bit kind of to pick on that period of time is a really important part for us, but at the same time there was lots of plays throughout the game.
Yeah, having spoken to Jim directly after the match and yourself, Declan, you've said it is player led at half time. What does that look like and feel like and sound like in the dressing room when they come in? You know, is it a case that they have a few minutes to have a drink, and then does Jim speak? Do you guys speak? Do the players speak first? Or how does it actually work?
Yeah, in general terms, they come in, as kind of always say to them, at half time is the rest period. So get your rest and don't wind yourself up, and get yourself back in your proper good headspace, and to get a little time to talk to themselves about how. Tactically it's working for them, and then we'd input some information back into them, then they have a then they have another quick chat, and then out to go, and then they're kind of, it's a very short period of time, so it's not much time, you know. I think it's only 20 minutes we have, so by the time they're in and get adjusted, it's quite sharp. So you actually think it's longer than it is, but it's not. Yeah, but that's it. The players themselves talk about themselves and how they're feeling, so we can interact and get an understanding of what's going on in their heads as well. It's important.
Yeah, and I know we spoke at this time last year about your role on match day in comparison to Jim, and at the time Jason Sherlock and the other coaches as well. Would there be a period before you speak to the players as a coaching team that you guys would speak and decide exactly what message you want to pass to them at half time or full time or whatever?
In general, yeah. Look, I mean, I certainly not my kind. I know there are other coaches. We don't say it unless we have to say something. And that's the key point. We don't say things unnecessarily. But we'll say it when it's required, and what's required we think best, and then that we give it back to the players and they can adjust. But like it's there's never a rocket solution to any of these situations. We've been very lucky to be quite successful, so the tactics would be perceived to be working all the time because you're winning, and that can sometimes be a little bit it can be a bit clouded because the reality might not be that case. They might not be performing the way we would like to perform either. So but it's an important piece that our communication with the players and how we interact with them is really, really important. But we have a good connection with the players, and I think you can see that in the field of play. There's a good trust going on between the two groups, so at the minute anyway, it's all good.
And I suppose the fact that there's so many senior players in the group, like I was just doing some research on the players that we're going to interview, you know, on the media day today, and the amount of All-Irelands and league titles and club titles they all have, the experience in that group I'm sure is something that you guys will use, that they probably will know 90% of the stuff themselves without you guys having to say anything.
There's a lot of that, but the game is evolving very, very quickly, so you can never stand still for 1 minute, even as a player or as a coach. You've got to always keep pushing on and striving and looking for things to get better, and I think all the players would say, particularly the more experienced players, that there's kind of complete transformation, even from season to season, even from the league as well to the championship. The tactical shift and the ability to play and adjust in the field of play is a remarkable, and you know, you have to give great credit to all the players that are participating in the championship. It's a phenomenal standard of fitness, technical and tactical skills that they have as well. So there's huge challenges there, and it's just wonderful to watch, and it's just where I'm very lucky to be involved with this special team. So
if I was to write down Dublin versus Kerry on paper, what sort of things would come to your head about that fixture over the years and the fixture that we're going to have in this final?
I think it's the, I suppose as a kid, like for me, I was always, well, my biggest thing was watching the Kerry Dublin matches, the Kevin Moran's, the Jack O'Shea's. That's what inspired me to play football. And there is that little bit of traditional stuff for me personally, because I've had that, the team, them games in the 70s were fantastic. I was lucky enough to play in some of the Dublin Kerry games, and there's no denying it, there is a special connection when the teams meet because of that tradition. I'm not sure the younger lads here that would laugh at me at my age, but I'm not sure that they have that kind of traditional hold between the Dublin Kerry thing, but they'll understand it's going to be a special occasion, and it's the biggest day of the year in sporting context for an Irish person, so we'll grab hold of it as best we can, and we'll make sure we do our very best for Dublin.
So does or will preparation change for this game, given it's a final and there's a long run into it, a couple of weeks?
Well, I think you get into a rhythm throughout the season, that when players come to these games, that the rhythm itself actually brings them to the game and gets them to perform, and actually not to stop and think about the context of this game. If they do, that's when things, distractions could come into their heads and they could not function the way they'd like to function. For everybody else and for the families and their clubs and who they represent, it's an absolute huge honour to be part of that biggest sporting day in Irish sport. So there's a big piece to that, but at the same time, they need to function and play a game of football. It's simple as that. It's you know, it's no different than they would have played when they were 13 or 14. Yes, there's a bigger surprise at the end of it, but still, it's a game of football and they just want to get out and play.
Declan, lastly, five in a row. Is that something you'll talk about, mention, think about at all in the next couple of weeks before this final and the chance to make history?
Well, my biggest peeve was this, was just to be so privileged to be part of this group. That's it for me. Just the friendship within this group is massive. And I think that's something that needs to be acknowledged. And when it's all done and dusted, and I might be sitting in a bar still somewhere and looking back and laugh, I might start counting up what's happened and how things have manufactured itself. But at the minute, I'm just very privileged to be working with my fellow coaches, trying to lift the standards of coaching, trying to push the players on to be better in everything they do, and enjoying that journey. I think this year's journey has been fantastic. In that context, it's been great for us as coaches, myself and Jason particularly, and all the other coaches, helping the players to strive to get better, and the craveness of the players to want to get better is really, really impressive from this group, and that's the bit that I really love about being part of this team.
98 FM, now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.